Amen. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. Wouldn't be enough, would it? Wouldn't be enough. When I was a kid, they taught us this rhyme about the church. I know many of you have know this rhyme. I don't do it well, and I think that's why it's bad to start with. But this rhyme was taught to us, and it goes like this. Get your hands. Y'all know what I'm at. Mm-hmm. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open it up. And there's all the people. I don't do this part well. It kind of hurts my pinkies. I don't know how that works. Rachel has a really cool one that she told me not to call her out and make her do today. So I won't. I'll just talk about it. She does it, and she has, like, the preacher's her thumb, and this is the usher in the back of the room, and she's got a whole little play going on in her hand. I don't know what that's about, but I think that kind of messes up our theology sometimes. Today, I just want to talk to you real quick about what the church is and the power of the church. You know that the church is not this building. But sometimes I think our theology of this rhyme has made us think that we're only the church in the building. But when we open up the door, we're supposed to leave and go out and do the work and have the power that only comes from Jesus. The power that only comes from a creator, the one who loves us, the one who takes care of us. We're going to start this morning in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. Verse 12 says this, "I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And he will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commands." So what that's saying is, if we will love the Lord and follow his commands, we have powers beyond what he displayed on this earth. Think about what that really means for a minute. Think about that. He fed the 5,000. He healed the sick. He walked on water. Now, am I telling some of you to go home and try to walk on water in your pools? No. But if you want to, please call me and let me know if it works. But the key is, we're following his command. We're being who God has called us to be. And when we're who he's called us to be and doing what he's called us to do, we are able to do things beyond anybody's understanding. That's what made this such a great nation at one time. We were a nation following God. And with that, we were able to outreach our arms all over this world. Lately, our arms are getting shorter. Have you noticed? I wonder if there's a coalition. I wonder if they've got something to do with each other. Because we've stopped following the commands of God. But here's the thing. I don't care about the country necessarily right now. I care about our church. Let's follow the commands of God as the people of God. And then our country will follow along. But if we'll follow and do what God has called us and commanded us to do, all of a sudden, things will happen that we never thought could happen. People will be healed. Things will happen that nobody can explain. Things will happen that only God can get the glory for. Let's keep going. Verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because it doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will see me no longer, but you will see me, because I will live, you will live too. In that day, you will not know that I am in my Father. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father. You are in me, and I am in you. Here Jesus promises us the Holy Spirit, the great counselor, the one to come and to be with us in our times of need, to help us to know the answers when people ask questions that we have no idea what the answer is, to guide us, to be with us in all that we do. Jesus is telling us this is what's going to happen, and that's how you'll get the power. This is before he goes to the cross. This is before he rises again. It's before he does anything. He's just talking to the followers. And he's saying, guys, this is what's coming. This is what's to come. I'm not going to leave you alone. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? God will never leave you alone. In your weakness, in your strong moments, in your whatever, he's there. You're not an orphan. He will always be there. He will walk with you. He will talk with you along life's way. He will carry you when you can't walk anymore. He will be there. He will take care. How many parents do we have in the room? How many of you, if your kid comes to you, going to give them, ask for bread? You'll hand them a snake or a rock. Anybody? That's Jesus' promise when he says he will not orphan you. That's Jesus' promise to say something's coming. Something that will change everything. Now quickly today, I just want to move to Acts. Because I think in order for us to understand the power of the church, we got to look at the first church. We got to see what happened at the beginning. What made the first church the first church? What gave it its authority and its ability? So I'm just going to start in Acts chapter 1, and we're going to chew on this for a little bit, and then we're going to go to the house. Okay, is that good with everybody? Everybody's got supper ready. We'll get done quick. But Dr. Bob always told me, he said, it doesn't matter what you say, just let them out early. So that's my goal today, is just to let you get some stuff, those that want it, those that don't, hey, you'll beat the Methodists to Cracker Barrel. So it's all good. It's all good. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. 100 days after Jesus had said what he said to the disciples earlier, he says this. After he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. His suffering is referring to his death. Jesus died for our sins. A horrible day on this planet. And guess what? He loved you enough that if you were the only one, he still would have gone to that cross. And he still would have suffered just for you. If we can grab hold of that, nothing else matters. He loves you that much. He cares for you more than anything has ever cared for you. He comes back to prove that he's God, to reign over God, and he teaches them about the kingdom of God for 40 days. Wouldn't you love to have been there? Man, can you imagine sitting at the feet of Jesus after he's opened your mind, sitting there and just going, and just taking it in. Just taking it in. As Jesus gives the truth to the people about what he's just gone through and what it really means. Just pouring out into them, telling them, you know, and I've always thought, now some of you have heard me say this before, I've always thought he talked about the garden in that moment. How else would we know? Everybody else was asleep. So how else are we going to know what happened to Jesus when he was over here praying? He's there. He is just pouring out into these guys for 40 days. Man, what a revival. What a revival. What an awakening moment. Church, this is ours. This is our awakening moment. This is the moment that God has called us to listen to him, to come to his feet and to hear what he has to say. For the next 30 days, this is a call to prayer, Grapevine Baptist Church. This is a time where we've got to bond together stronger than we ever have before. And listen to God pour into us. He gave us his word. His word is what will feed us. His word is what will help us get through this tough time. He's given us 30 days that we can just bathe our pastor in prayer, that we can just bathe each other in prayer, that we can lift each other, that we can become a family. Because that's what's going to make it through this. That's what the people out there are watching. They're saying, are they going to fall apart or are they going to be a family? Can I just tell you now? My goal is to be family. My goal is to say, hey, let's do this together. It's going to be rough, but we can do it. We can do this. We're going to sit at the feet of Jesus, and we're going to take in whatever he gives us. Let's keep going. Verse 4. While he was together with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise, the one that he had told them in John. This, he said, is what you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom of Israel at this time? He said to them, let's stop right there. Did they get it yet? Daggum, they're just like us. God could just smack me in the head with truth over and over and over and over again. And I'm like, but God, am I going to get any skinnier? Or God, is there any follicle help? You know, I get to those moments where God is doing great things around me. And I'm going, are you going to restore Israel? No, that's bigger than that. It's bigger than my hair follicles. It's bigger than Grapevine Baptist Church. It's bigger than anything we could imagine. Because God is saying, this is who's coming. Get ready. The power is about to hit you. You're going to have power beyond anything you've ever had before. And right now they're going, are you going to restore Israel too? Let's not be that. Let's not be that. Let's not be so self-consumed that we go, what you done for me, God? God, why aren't you doing this for me? Why did I have to suffer through that? Why am I having to go down this road? And I look over here, and they're fine. It's really hard, isn't it? In your flesh. It's really hard in your flesh to not go, well, Ryan's got really good hair, and God gave me this. Y'all, Ryan, stand up, let him see your head. Is that not beautiful hair? Come on. Yeah, give it up for a brother. Come on. Yeah. Think about it. We get so caught up in ourselves that we don't see the bigger picture. And that's what God has called us to, the bigger picture. It's not about just us. It's not just about the United States. It's not just about Grapevine Baptist Church. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus. And that's what he's telling them. He's saying, guys, wait. You will receive power. I'm going to keep going. He said to them, it's not for you to know the time or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He's saying it's bigger than you. Everywhere is where I'm headed. I'm going to restore everybody. And guess what, church? Everybody in this room one day will be restored in Christ. Amen? No matter where you are, no matter what your problem is, I promise you, if you have Christ in you, one day you will be fulfilled. You will be healed. You will be perfect. Because that's what God said he would do. The promise of the second coming of a king. The promise that only Jesus could give. Because he'd proven his power. He'd proven who he was. Let's keep going here. In verse 9. After he said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, they were gazing into heaven, and suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them. They said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into the heavens? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way that you've seen him going into heaven. love that. Because Darren and I are friends. Darren, I'm going to use you for a minute. Is that okay? I could see Darren and I hanging out with Jesus. And Jesus ascending in front of us. And us just both doing this. Did you see that? That was awesome. And they just kept staring. And I tell you what, I believe if those angels, the angels didn't come along and bump those guys, we could have found some skeletons up there still going, because it was amazing. Nobody had ever seen anything like this before. And when you see something that's amazing, you don't want to look away. You want to be part of it. And that's what's happening here. Something amazing is happening. We're winning awards I've never heard of before. That's amazing. That's God and only God. You want to be part of that. And that's what they were doing. They were standing there staring into heaven going, wow, wow. He just flew. Think he's coming back yet?
Oh, no, let's stare. Okay.
I think I said, no, that's a bird. Think he's coming back?
He said he was going to. Maybe he's just going to go get some buddies and come right back. Moses is out there.
No. And an angel comes along and bumps him and says, he's not coming back right now. He's told you what to do. Go and do it. He's told us what to do. Let's go and do it. He told them to go and to wait for something that was coming, something that was beyond anything that they'd ever seen before. 120 of them gathered together in an upper room, waiting for the promise, the thing that was to come. 120 of them all together, hanging out, waiting. It'd be hard, wouldn't it? Waiting's the worst. I don't wait well. I had a friend yesterday who shared something with me that was funny. And they said, I'm always late because I don't like waiting for stuff. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me in my actual mind, but that person really hated waiting. And I don't like to wait either. Rachel loves to be 2 hours early to everything we do because she's afraid she's going to be late and everybody's going to look at her. Then her husband goes, look. Okay. You're welcome, baby. Love you. Waiting is hard. We're also told in Scripture to wait upon the Lord. He will renew your strength. Wait upon the Lord and watch what he does. The power that you want, the power that you desire, only comes with waiting and feeding on him. And then in that moment, at that exact moment that you're supposed to, that waiting comes to fruition. Something amazing happens. That's what happened to these guys in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. King James says, in one accord, which I think is very important in this moment, because as the church is divided, the presence doesn't show up like it's supposed to. And they were all together as one, praying together, united as one, as a family, 120 of them in one accord, waiting on what God was going to do. In church, that's what we've got to be. We've got to be in one accord, waiting to see what God is going to do. To say, God, yes, that was you and only you. And we praise you for it. But they were waiting. Suddenly, the sound, like a violent rushing wind, came from heaven. And it filled the whole house where they were staying. And tongues like flames of fire that were divided and appeared on them and rested on each one of them. I'm a literalist. I believe the Word of God is what the Word of God is, and it's truth. What it says is what it is. I believe when it says a wind blew, a wind blew. I believe that the doors in this upper room or in the wherever they were blew open. And all of a sudden, this thing came rolling in that looked like a big old ball of fiery tongues. It came into the room. It separated and came and it landed on everybody in the room. Now, we pray for God to show up every week, don't we? And hopefully every day of our lives. What would you do if all of a sudden he showed up in power? If he showed up with all of his glory, came in and started chasing you with a flaming tongue? I got to be straight with you. I'm running. And I really don't have to run that fast. I just got to run faster than you, and I'm tripping you, so it's going to be okay. And fire scares me. My mama told me not to play with it, so I don't. So a flaming tongue is coming at me. I don't know what I'm going to do. But see, these guys were waiting for God to show up. They were watching for the power of God. So when something happened that they had been waiting for, they weren't afraid of it. They just went, there it is. And that's what we've got to be. We've got to be watching for what God is going to do, see it, and go, there it is, and join in the power. Because when that flaming tongue broke apart, it came and it rested on individuals. They weren't burned. It was not a consuming fire. It was a fire that was just enriching their lives. It was a fire that burned in their soul, that excited them, that all of a sudden they turned around and went, that's what it's about. And they got up, and they began to do things that had never been done before. They began to speak in languages that had never been heard before. They began to just pour out the Holy Spirit. Now, we're not going to get into the speaking in tongues here this morning, just so you know. So, all y'all that want to ask me that question later, I'm not going to tell you what I think. Okay, but it says that everybody heard in their own language. And that's more important to me than who was saying what with their mouth. Because they were proclaiming who Christ was, and all of a sudden, everybody began to hear distinctly the power and the glory of God. Man. Have you ever been in a room full of 120 people, 108, and all of a sudden, everybody began to talk at the same time? Have you? Have y'all ever done that? Y'all nod. Y'all can use your heads. It's okay. I know this is church, so y'all can give me a little bit, all right? Have you ever been in that room? It's really hard to understand anything. You get 20 people in a room, begin to say different things, having conversations. All of a sudden, everything's murmured. And you can't make out what's happening. But according to the scripture, everybody heard exactly what they were saying. The proclamation of who Christ is, the excitement that came from them. And with that excitement came passion. With that excitement came interest. People began to run to where they were. People began to go into the room and see what they were doing. Can you imagine the ruckus they were causing? You ever think about that? They were making so much noise that people began to come running in, came running in from all over. How cool would that be on a Sunday morning if we were just so, like, loving Jesus that people just started busting in the doors? Wouldn't that be cool? That's like that might be something for us to learn. Maybe the first church had something right. Maybe they were doing something with power. Maybe they were doing something that was worthy. Maybe it's time for us to do something that's worthy. Now, I know that we're proud of our church and we love the Lord, but are we sharing it? Or are we sitting on it? I know that we're asking people to pray for our pastor, which is great and awesome, but are we sharing the love of Jesus while we're there? Are we going, do you know my Christ? Can I tell you who he is? Because that's the true call. It's not asking people where they go to church either. I get that one a lot. Where you go to church? Grapevine. Okay. And they walk away. I don't care where you go to church. That's awesome. But do you know Jesus? Because that's what it's really about. I'm telling you, when people that you may not have ever seen in this room will meet you at Walmart, and you might ask them where they go to church, and they go, Grapevine. And you go, really? Because, one, they're sitting back there, and you're sitting over here, and you don't really see them. But some of them just know that there's a lot of people here. And they can throw the name Grapevine out, and nobody will ever know. Sure, I go Grapevine. Oh, what funny. I stand up front every week. How come you don't know me? Okay. Think about it. What are you doing? How are you sharing Jesus with people? That's our job. That's what these guys began to do in that moment. We're almost done. Hang with me just for another second or two here. Let me read from verse 4 again. Then they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different languages as the Spirit gave them the ability for speech. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. When the sound occurred, a crowd came together and was confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. And they were astounded and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Aren't all these, hear that, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us can hear them in our own language?" Skip down to halfway through verse 11. We hear them speaking the magnificent acts of God in our own language. They were all astounded and perplexed, saying to one another, "What could this be?" But some sneered and said, "They're full of new wine. They're full of new wine. They're drunk. Only people that ever make this much noise or cause this much chaos are a bunch of drunks. Only people you want to be around are those guys that are partying. Those guys that are just, yee-haw, hoo-hoo. They've got to be drunk. They got to be tore up. There's no way this is God." But Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice. Hear that. But Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice. Who was speaking before the 12 stood up? The 108. You see, sometimes the extent of our sharing Jesus is, "Hey, you want to go to church with me?" And that's good. Don't misunderstand the words coming from my mouth. Don't go out of here quoting me saying, "Jacob said not to invite people to church." That's not what I'm saying. But the 108 were proclaiming the truths of Jesus. That's you. You're the 108. You're to be out there telling everybody you run into about Jesus. And then when they come at you, and they will, if you're really bringing them Jesus, they will come at you. And when they come at you, that's my job to get up. That's Joe's job to get up. That's Dr. Bob's job to get up and defend you. You're to be doing the work. Doing the work every day. Being who God's called you to be. And when somebody comes at you and says, "But you're this, that, or the other," we will defend you. We will have your back. We will proclaim that, "No, no, no. What they're saying is truth. Jesus did die for you. Jesus does love you. And Jesus cares more about you than anything else out there." Get to work, church. Get to work, church. I got your back. Joe's got you back. And Dr. Bob will get you back in a couple of weeks. We've got you. We're here to defend you. We are here to proclaim the truth, because that's what Peter does next. He stands up and says, "No, this is the truth. You killed Jesus. You destroyed him. But you couldn't kill him. He didn't stay dead. He got up. He came out. He's been with us for the last 40 days. We've been hanging out. He's been telling us all about what heaven's going to be like. It's amazing. I don't even know how to tell you it's so amazing." And then I watched him. I was standing there. And all of a sudden, he ascended into heaven right in front of me. Right in front of my eyes. I watched him go up. I saw. It's real. He's amazing. And he said he's coming back. He's coming back to get us. He's coming back to get those who care about him. Those that have given his life to him. Church, that's my cry to you today. If you haven't given your heart to Jesus, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. The Bible says that today is the day you should receive Christ. Today is the day that you need Jesus. 3,000 people were saved that day. 3,000 people were saved because they stood up. Are we going to stand up, Grapevine? This morning, I just want to open up this altar here in just a second. I want you to have a moment where if you've been kind of, as my mama would say, sitting on your laurels, and you need to come down and just get right with the Lord, that's what this is for. Come repent. Come say, God, I'm sorry I've not been sharing you like I know I'm supposed to. This altar will be opened here in just a second. Also, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, that's the most important decision you will ever make. Come receive him today. We want to rejoice with you. You know, a lot of people are scared to come down the aisle because they're afraid people will look at them weird or whatever. Can I promise you something? If today's the day you decide to be saved, we're only going to rejoice with you. We're only going to be excited about what God is doing in your life. So today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of repentance. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your Spirit that has come and has given us power. Lord, take all those things out of our lives that distract us. Take all those things that are holding us back out of our lives right now. Lord, help us to just give in to you. Let us be the 108 that go out and share your love with others. Jesus, we love you. We praise you. In your name we pray. Let's all stand.